Good morning, and welcome to Meyerstown Church of the Brethren this morning. I'm Pastor Dennis, and good to see all of you here this morning. A couple of announcements before we come into our time of worship. We're praying for folks on page 49 in our church directory this week, and we're also praying for the Pottstown Church of the Brethren, and our neighboring congregation, the Lebanon Church of the Brethren, is praying for us. Just a reminder that this Tuesday evening is commission and board meetings. The sock tree out in the gathering place is filling up, but you can always put them underneath the tree too, so you don't have to stop bringing them in because the tree's full. Also, just a reminder, if you have any directory changes, give those to Joanne. And also, Joanne said because of the possible inclement weather they're calling for the middle of the week, she would like to print the bulletins for next Sunday on Wednesday. So if you have anything you'd like to get to her for the bulletin for next week, get it to her by Wednesday. Also, a reminder that our Christmas Eve service this year will be done online. We won't have a live Christmas Eve service. It'll be online. We'll be recording a service and a full service, and we're putting it out online for you to watch on Christmas Eve. And also a reminder that we're having our candle lighting memorial service on Sunday morning, January 3rd. And if you have a loved one that you would like to remember that morning, let Joanne know about that also. On this third Sunday of Advent, let's come into this time of worship as Barb leads us.
Good morning. As we light the Advent candle, I'd like everybody to join in the responsive reading. We want everything to look nice. The decorations of the season are homes with their lights and tinsel, wreaths and ribbons. We want to lighten the darkness around us, bring beauty to the ugliness that wears us down. We decorate because it's a tradition, because it lifts our hearts, because it makes us feel like children again.
The prophet Isaiah
said, God will give a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, a mantle of praise instead of a raven spirit. No matter how far we feel,
we light this candle as a sign of our joy in the beautiful things of this season. Not just the things that glitter and flash, but the deeper things, the beauty of the heart and the soul, the beauty of love shared in service and hospitality. We light this candle of joy because our Savior is coming. Now, if everybody will stand and join in singing, It Came Upon the Midnight Clear.
From me.
seated. I'm going to read the first scripture, and this is taken from Isaiah 52, 7 to 10. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of the messenger who announces peace, who brings good news, who announces salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. Listen, your sentinels lift up their voices. Together they sing for joy. For in plain sight they see the return of the Lord to Zion. Break forth together into singing, you ruins of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has bared his holy arm before the eyes of all the nations. And all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. And now we're going to hear from the children.
Dashing through the snow, one horse elephant sleigh, for the hills we go, laughing on the way. Bells on lots of rings, making spirits bright. What fun it is to ride the sleigh in the sleighing song tonight. Oh, jingle bells, in the
You guys did a great job this morning. I hear that you picked the songs, right? Did you help pick the songs? Yeah, good. Yeah, that Twinkle Twinkle Little Star got me thinking about something I heard over the last couple weeks, that on December 21st, there's going to be two planets coming very, very close together in the sky. And they're coming together in the sky. They're actually millions and millions of miles apart, but in our sky, they'll look like they're coming together. There's going to be this really bright star in the sky, and hopefully it'll be nice and clear that night that we can see that nice bright star in the sky. Saturn and Jupiter, I think it is, that are coming close together. So, anyhow, got a question for you. What is a carol? You know what a carol is? What do you think? You can go caroling. What do you do when you go caroling? You sing. Right. You sing songs, right? Yeah, well, a carol is a song, but it's a very special kind of song. And you sang some, what I would say, are Christmas songs, but you also sang some Christmas carols. There's a difference between them, okay? Because a Christmas carol tells a story. And it tells a very special story, okay? You sang Joy to the World, and you sang Away in a Manger. And those, I would say, are Christmas carols. But Jingle Bell is a Christmas song, a song that we sing at Christmas time, okay? But Joy to the World and Away in the Manger told a story, or parts of the story, a very special story. What story is it that they tell us? Okay, when Jesus was born, right. Okay, there are songs about when Jesus was born. Songs about what happened on that very first Christmas when Jesus was born. And as we sing these Christmas carols, those songs, we're learning part of the story, but we're learning it in music. And one of the reasons we have these wonderful Christmas carols is many, many, many hundreds of years ago when there wasn't a lot of printed books and printed music and things like that. People learned the story through the Christmas carols, okay? And we have these wonderful, wonderful Christmas carols. We sang It Came Upon a Midnight Clear this morning, and Joy to the World, and Hark the Herald Angels Sing, and all those wonderful songs that tell the story about Jesus in this special season. So as you grow up, learn those carols and listen to those carols and listen to the story that they tell. Let's say a prayer. God, we thank you for the children and their, as they shared their music this morning and shared your story in their music. We thank you for them. We ask your blessing on them as they learn your story and as they learn and grow. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, children. Let's come to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, thank you so much that we can be here today, here to worship you, our loving and awesome God. You know, Christmas time is fastly approaching, and we just want to think about this wonderful and ultimate gift that you gave to us, sending your son Jesus to spend time on earth and then ultimately dying for our sins on the cross. We are just so unworthy, and we know you love us so much. May we always try to be loving and obedient to you. Lord, please be with those that are sick, those that are battling the virus, those that have had it, and those who are actually helping people who have it. Be with everyone who's affected by sickness. Lay your comforting hand upon them and their loved ones. Be with those that are maybe going through really rough times right now. May they seek your guidance and strength, and just know that you are there for them. And thank you for all of our blessings you give us, you know, that you give us in our lives. We sometimes really dwell on the negative things. You know, there's a lot of negative things going on in the world, but there's a lot of positive things too. We each and every one of us has so many blessings. May we always remember to thank you for those and, you know, share your blessings as you're able. Now, please just help us to trust in you and to be obedient, Lord. Let us put our faith in you. You always know what's best for us. Now, quiet our heads and our heart and open our hearts so we may be receptive to the message this morning, that we may apply it to our lives, that we can go out and live our lives as you would want us to live. You are an awesome God. May we always praise and worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. For the next scripture, I'm going to be reading John 1, 10 to 13. Okay, so it's John 1, 10 to 13. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. And now we'll hear from the message from Pastor Dennis.
2 weeks ago, I began a series of messages based on John's version of the coming of Jesus, found in John 1, verses 1 through 18. And David Stauffer continued that series last Sunday, challenging you to reflect the light of Jesus in your life. In my message 2 weeks ago, I said that John's version of Jesus' first advent is quite different from those accounts in Matthew and Luke. John wasn't necessarily interested in writing a biography of Jesus, and he did not write specifically to convey facts about Jesus. Rather, he used words and images to reveal Jesus' true identity. John wants us to know who Jesus is, and because of who he is, that we might know the life God wants for us in him. He declares his purpose very clearly in John 20, verse 31, where he writes, "These are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name." John wants us to see Jesus, to know Jesus, to abide in Jesus, to be loyal to Jesus, and to be united with those others who also see, know, and abide in Jesus. So today we continue in John's account as we consider verses 10 through 13 that Kim just read for us. My guess is that on this third Sunday of Advent, we find ourselves, and you find yourselves, way well into the season of gift preparation and gift giving. You know, the news networks made a lot about how much people actually spent on gift giving on Black Friday, Small Business Saturday, and Cyber Monday, in the billions and billions of dollars. And if you haven't been paying attention, with a number of online orders overwhelming the shippers, we are being warned to get our online shopping done by this coming Tuesday if you want your gifts to be arriving in time for Christmas. Well, my guess is that many of you have put together lists of gifts you want to purchase or want to make for families and friends, unless you're one of those last-minute Christmas Eve shoppers, which is not recommended this year. If you're not one of those, you've already purchased your gifts, and maybe you've already been wrapping. A week ago Thursday, Kathy and I sent a package to our family in the Netherlands. And amazingly, it got there exactly 1 week later, this past Thursday. So not all the shipping is slow. At least overseas, international shipping seems to be going pretty quickly. Well, what is a gift? It's something that's willingly given to another person out of love, out of honor, out of respect, and if we're honest, sometimes out of a sense of obligation. Gifts are oftentimes unanticipated and unexpected. And in verse 12, John tells us that through Jesus, God has given us a gift. He says, "To all who received him," that's Jesus, the Word, "who believe in his name," he, meaning God, Jesus and God, "gave power to become children of God, who are born not of blood or the will of the flesh or the will of man, but of God." Something amazing happened when the Word became flesh. Through the gift of the Word, through Jesus, we've been given a gift of power. Some translations say the right to become children of God. I was born on June 13th, 1950, and on that day I became my parents' first child. On April 7th, 1963, I was born again, or born of God, as John says. And on that day, when I confessed Jesus as Lord and Savior and was baptized, I became God's child. And all of us who have received Jesus as Lord and Savior and who believe in his name are children of God. We've been born again into God's kingdom, God's family. We're heirs of the promises of God and heirs of eternal life. We'll sit at the table at the marriage supper of the Lamb, Revelation 19:9, and we'll experience eternity in God's forever family. But to the people to whom Jesus came, the children of Israel, the world that was a largely pagan world at the time, God was understood often as someone whose commands had to be satisfied through sacrifices of animals and crops. In other words, in those days, humans gave gifts back to God to satisfy God's law and God's displeasure with sinful human beings. But when God sent Jesus into the world, God turned the tables around because God has given us a gift. John tells us of this wonderful gift that God has given. He says that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. You know, John's repeated use of these words, "he gave," is significant. Jesus and what God has done for us through Jesus is God's gift to the world. And when someone gives you a gift, you've got some choices, right? You can receive the gift with appreciation and truly enjoy it. Out of respect for the giver, you'll accept the gift, but then it gets put away in a drawer or for some reason you forget where you put it. You put it away, in other words. Or you could actually outright refuse the gift. Not a very nice thing to do, but you could. In verses 10 through 13, John tells us about three reactions people had to God's gift then and still have today. In verse 10, John says, "He was in the world and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him." And when John talks about the world here, he's referring to humanity as a whole, especially humanity ignorant of or turned away from God. Jesus came into a world where emperor worship and idol worship was prevalent, a world that largely did not know the true God. And much of that world, as time went on, would hate Jesus and his followers. Fallen humanity did not recognize, they did not know or understand God's gift. Then in verse 11, John says, "He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him." His own people, meaning the children of Israel, the people that God had chosen to be his light in the world, did not accept him. Those with whom God had been intimately involved for centuries, even they would not accept God's gift. And in spite of all the words of the prophets pointing to Jesus as their Messiah, they still could not accept him. But then in verses 12 and 13, John says, "But to all who received him and who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God." To receive and to believe. How different. How unique, how simple, how wonderful. The pagan world wanted gods they could see and touch, so they made multiple idols and statues and temples to honor them. But those inanimate objects could do nothing for them. And contrary to the thinking of the children of Israel, who thought their genealogy and those sacrifices would keep them in God's good graces, Jesus made us God's children, not because of who we are, not because of genealogy, but through receiving. In other words, through accepting him and welcoming him into our lives, and through believing in God's gift by placing our trust and our hope in him. In John 3:27, the apostle says, "No one can receive anything except what has been given from heaven." And then he goes on a little bit later in verses 31 through 36 and says, "The one who comes from heaven is above all. He testifies to what he has seen and heard, yet no one accepts his testimony. Whoever has accepted his testimony has certified this, that God is true. He whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for he gives the Spirit without measure. The Father loves the Son and has placed all things in his hands. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever disobeys the Son will not see life, but must endure God's wrath." This is no ordinary gift God has presented to us. It's a gift given from heaven, a gift given by God, from the very presence of God and from the very heart of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. So when someone gives you a gift, what do you do with it? Well, as I said, you can accept the gift and put it to use. You can store it, thinking, well, maybe someday I'll use it. You could return it, which in essence is rejecting the gift. But the bigger question is, what have you done with God's gift of his Son, Jesus, to to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, John said, to these who received and believed, God gave a very special gift, the power to become children of God. You see, to receive him requires a conscious choice to do so. To receive him means so much more than just passively accepting the gift, saying, well, thank you. It means to do something with the gift. And while believing can be a somewhat passive act, true belief inspires an active response. Belief is more than just a mental assent, more than just saying yes or no, I do or I don't. Belief is conviction. Conviction of the existence and reality of God, the God revealed in Jesus. It's the conviction that his revelation and teaching is truth. It's placing our trust in Jesus, trust and faith in his power, his nearness to help, and his understanding of our human predicament. Receiving and believing in him means recognizing his authority in our lives and allowing him to shape our lives. God is the one. I sound like I went off. Am I back on? Okay. God is the one who's taken the initiative, and God's gift requires a response. Do you choose light or darkness? Do you receive or reject, believe or deny? And actually, failure to respond in any way is really a rejection of God's gift. You see, the choice we make doesn't change the fact that God has acted. The gift has been given, and the ability to receive and believe actually is itself a gift. If you've ever driven west on the Pennsylvania Turnpike towards Pittsburgh, as you clear that Allegheny Tunnel and get up onto the Laurel Highlands in the Somerset area, there are what must be hundreds of those electricity-generating windmills on the horizon. It takes an outside power, wind, to make them be and do what they were intended to be and do. To receive him, to believe in him, to put our trust and faith in him is not something that we can do on our own power. It takes a power beyond our human abilities, a power working within us, a power that God has given us. God gave the power for us to become children of God. And the gift is in the power. As I consider the Christmas story, you know, both Mary and Joseph had to make a tremendous choice. Do they receive or deny the angel's message? Do they believe or reject what they've been told? As you read the story, Mary had some thinking to do, but generally it seems like she responded with belief a little more quickly than Joseph. She said, I'm the Lord's servant, may your word to me be fulfilled. But Joseph had a little bit more difficult time accepting the situation. He didn't want to hurt Mary. Should he divorce her quietly? You know, it took the Spirit of God speaking to him through the angel in a vision to get to the point where he could receive and believe. It wasn't something he was able to do on his own power. It takes a power outside of us to bring us to the point of receiving and believing God's gift, to find that power which allows us to become God's children through Jesus. And that power to become God's children is through the power of the Holy Spirit working within us. It's a gift. He gave the power to become children of God. Becoming children of God is not something that we accomplish for ourselves. It is, as I said, a gift, something that happens to us through the power outside of ourselves, through the power of the incarnation, the Word made flesh. That is the power that makes us God's children, ours by the power of the Holy Spirit working within us. In Romans 8:14, Paul says, "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God." And in Galatians also he says, "So in Jesus Christ you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ." Have you ever received a gift? that significantly changed the trajectory of your life. Got me thinking back on my own life, and I'm very much aware of how two very special gifts from my parents shaped the trajectory of my life. The first was the gift of a clarinet when I was in fourth grade. And the second was the gift of a piano when I was in, I think, a sophomore in high school. My parents saw that I had some musical abilities and interests, and they provided the means for me to develop those abilities. And the gifts of the clarinet and the piano led me to some wonderful teachers whose influence led me to choosing a music major in college and a 30-year career in teaching. In college, I met Kathy, which led us to getting married, which led to the birth of three children. And music had a big role in my involvement in the church, which led me into pastoral ministry, all because of the gifts of a clarinet and a piano. So what difference has God's gift made in your life? What difference has receiving and believing in faith and trust made in your life? God knew we could not be made right with him on our own power and through a system of laws and sacrifices. So God sent us a gift that empowers us to be his beloved children, a gift that has the power to change us and mold us into God's beloved children, fully accepted and welcomed into his kingdom. What a difference receiving and believing can make in our lives. By receiving the gift, we see God differently. We're not like those who did not know him or did not accept him. We see and we understand God through the life and the example of Jesus. We know that God's character is love compared to those worldly concepts of God as an angry, manipulative spoiler of our fun. We learn that God is good, that by choosing to move into the neighborhood, as Eugene Peterson puts it in The Message, God knows all about what we experience in this life. We learn that God wants to be in relationship with us. God wants us to really know him. God has given us one amazing gift. And then we also see ourselves differently. We know that we're loved, that our lives mean something, that our lives have purpose, and we don't just live a meaningless existence. In 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 19, Paul says, "If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. Everything has become new. And all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation." In Christ, we are made new. We're empowered to be God's children. God made us right with himself and has given our lives purpose by giving us the task of telling others about this wonderful gift. As God's children, we're given a ministry to this world, a ministry of reconciliation. We're to be bearers of this good news that God so loved the world that he gave a most valuable, life-giving gift. With no Mary, no Joseph, no Bethlehem, no manger, no star, no angels or shepherds, no wise men, John reminds us that Christmas is so much more than just the story that we all love. Christmas is the concrete demonstration of God's love for all humanity and for all of his creation. It's about a God who so loved the world that he gave. And in receiving and believing in God's gift, as his children, we are created and empowered to also love as he loved us. Poet Howard Thurman writes these words, "When the song of the angels is stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and the shepherds have found their way home, the work of Christmas is begun." Christmas is all about receiving God's gift, about accepting his forgiveness, love, and power in our lives. It's about believing in the one he has sent, the conviction that he is the way, the truth, and that in him there is life. It's about finding real life in his name and then living as his children in the world today and sharing with others this most wonderful gift of love. God so loved the world that he gave. Have you received the gift? Do you believe? Are you his child?
It is said that the door to the stable where the Christ child was born is very low, and only those who kneel can find access. I have taken it for granted. This gift of a child, this creator being created, this light born into darkness, I took this for granted until I looked upon my own child, whose eyes bring mercy to my soul, whose embrace peace to my heart, whose laugh joy to my world. I could not fathom the thought, could not muster the courage, am not capable of the love it would take to give my child up to those who don't know, to offer my child to those who would harm, to sacrifice my child for those who pursue hate. This gift of light, of love, of life, this joy in the world, this peace on earth, this mercy wild, this God, this sinner forever reconciled, provokes a humble response.
Let's stand as we worship him in song, as we sing together, Infant Holy, Infant Lowly. Hear the tidings of a gospel true. Christ the babe was born for you. Go in that assurance and go in Christ's peace. Amen.